This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, we're done with the Premier League Fan Show today. Now into the second division. Plenty to talk about. Obviously, a number of sides involved in the EFL Cup last night. Looking back at some of those games, there are a few sides involved from the Championship in the EFL Cup tonight. So we'll be looking ahead to that. We'll be talking all things Stoke. Is Nathan Jones about to lose his job? Another harrowing defeat last night to Crawley in the EFL Cup on penalties. Just 4 wins in 32 games. And could Friday night's game against Nottingham Forest be his last in charge? We'll also be talking about Huddersfield. They've obviously got a new manager, Danny Cowley. Not been the greatest start for him to life as the Terriers manager. But are things looking up for Huddersfield? We'll also be talking about Luton. They experienced a heavy defeat at home at Kenilworth Road against Leicester by 4-0 last night. We're talking about how that might affect their league form going forward. And also talking about Reading. They travel to Molineux tonight to take on Wolves. They lost at home to Blackburn last weekend. Looking ahead to that and also their trip to Swansea on the weekend. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on 0208 70 20 558. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to be talking about in this hour. As I said, a number of Championship sides involved in the EFL Cup last night. Plenty of Championship sides going down to defeat. It wasn't a particularly good night for the Championship sides. Nottingham Forest lost heavily away at Arsenal. Preston lost at home to Manchester City, I suppose. No surprises there. Luton, as I mentioned, lost 4-0 at home against Leicester. Sheffield Wednesday were fancied to cause a bit of a shock against Everton, who obviously were under a bit of pressure. Marco Silva is under a significant amount of pressure going into that game, but 2 Dominic Calvert-Lewin goals inside the opening 10 minutes meant it was a pretty easy win for the Merseysiders. For Swansea, who've made an impressive start to the season in the Championship, they're joint top with Leeds at this current moment in time. They went down 2-1 away at Vicarage Road. But for Stoke as well, it was really not a good night for them. They went to Crawley, drew 1-1 in normal time. As I mentioned, the League Cup now goes straight to penalties after 90 minutes, and Crawley won 5-3 on penalty, sparking great celebrations in Crawley. But for Stoke, the turmoil continues for them. Really not good for them at the moment. And Nathan Jones, it feels like he's on the brink. It's felt like he's on the brink for a few years now, or for a few games, sorry, now, and things are not looking great. Appointed, obviously taken from Luton, and things are not going too well. I'm sure our next guest will have plenty to talk about with Nathan Jones and where Stoke are at the moment. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Pete Smith, sports reporter for the Stoke-on-Trent Live. Thank you very much for giving us a few of your minutes. I'm sure you're busy today, Pete. Last night, let's talk about that first before we talk about Nathan Jones in general. Things are bleak, and last night would not have helped that going down to Crawley.
No, you're absolutely right, Kieran. I mean, in a way, it was a bit of a free hit because Nathan Jones made 10 changes because the league is such a priority at the moment. But even so, it was he took one on the chin. It's not nice to lose at a League Two team. And the way that they went down wasn't particularly inspiring, even if they went down on penalties. Not many players staked a claim for a shirt in what is coming into a vital couple of weeks for Nathan Jones.
How would Stoke have been viewing that game last night? Would it have been seen as a distraction when they're trying to kind of resurrect their league form? They made a terrible start and trying to get that going. Or would it have been seen as a way of getting their league season going? And actually, Nathan Jones would have been viewing that as an important stepping stone for the league.
Yeah, both probably. If it had been a win, he would have been saying this is a brilliant springboard. that we can take confidence from into the game in front of the TV cameras on Friday against Nottingham Forest. But as it was, even though no one expected Stoke to go and win the Carabao Cup this season, a really nasty defeat has cranked up all the pressure on Nathan Jones, and fans are getting a bit antsy, to be honest.
So obviously you mentioned Nathan Jones's name there, the big elephant in the room. Is his job on the line, and is he on the brink of going? Stoke's board are supposedly growing quite frustrated. It's just 4 wins in 32 games. Do you think we are a matter of potentially days away from Nathan Jones losing his job as the Stoke manager?
Oh, well, when you just say the record that he's got, it's on a match-by-match basis, I think. It's not just results, although increasingly it is results. It's the performances as well. The last 2 performances in the league have been encouraging without going over the top. They went down 2-1 with 10 men against Bristol City and then dug in for a 0-0 draw at Brentford. I mean, these are not results that would have got Stoke fans excited a couple of years ago, but from where they are at the moment, they might be building blocks. But you just think that one more poor performance in the league or a bad result might be a step too far. Fans are getting quite impatient. And to be fair, both fans and the board have been really patient with Nathan Jones. He's been given 8 months to get the house in order. He's brought in 12 players of his own. And he's just not been able to find a winning formula at all.
You mentioned there, Pete, about how he's been given time, he's been given 8 months. Is that not a symptom of where we are at the moment, though? Because 8 months actually doesn't sound that long. Now, in the short-termism world that we are nowadays, it seems like a long time for a manager. But is that really adequate amount of time for Stoke to realistically say, we've given you the time to do it, you haven't done it? Or a Stoke feeling that if they don't make the change now, they're going to go further into the mire and they might not be able to get out of that situation?
Yeah, that's a good point. And particularly with Stoke as well, because the board is so desperate to back their man for as long as they can. And they've gone through Mark Hughes, Paul Lambert and Gary Rowett in quick succession. So they were really desperate. Everybody was really desperate for Nathan Jones to work. But 8 months is quite a long time when you've only had 3 league wins. Stoke haven't won at home since April. I don't know, we've had the summer in the middle of that, but it's a long time for a club that has had the backing to win promotion to the Premier League to be at the wrong end of the table. 8 games into the season without a league win. I think at most other clubs, the manager would be very lucky to still be in his position.
Next up for Stoke then is quite a quick turnaround, actually. Friday night at home against Nottingham Forest. Are you suggesting, Pete, that depending on the result, if Stoke win, he keeps his job? If they lose, then it is pretty likely, but by the time he gets to the weekend, that he would have lost his job?
Well, I don't think it's quite that clear-cut, but it's getting to that point. Sorry, sitting on the fence a little bit. I mean, there are circumstances that might keep Nathan Jones in a job if they lose, but it's got to the stage where you think a heavy defeat might be a heavy defeat too far, or a poor performance. The Stoke can't wait forever, and that's the stage we're at the moment.
Hindsight's obviously a wonderful thing, Pete, but when he was first appointed, obviously he did a very good job at Luton. Were you convinced that he was the right man then, or would there have been other managers around, potentially more experienced kind of championship managers, that you would have preferred to have taken that job? Or is that us saying this now after a tough run that it's easy to say that he wasn't the right choice then because it hasn't worked out perfectly?
Well, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it, to debate. At the time, Stoke had gone for Gary Rowett, who was seen as pretty much the best bet for a championship manager to get them up and firing at the right end of the table. And when that hadn't worked, they went down a different route with Nathan Jones. And the way he came across was so enthusiastic and energetic, and he's evangelical in the way that he talks. He almost preaches, and what he says is fantastic. Everybody gets on board with him. So within the first couple of weeks, he'd sold this huge project to all the fans, and everybody was backing him to succeed. You would have done well to find many fans who were speaking out against the appointment. Unfortunately, that isn't the way it goes, is it? And at the end of it all, it's down to results, and they've been poor.
How much blame do you think should go on to the players? Because it may not be a fantastic squad, but there are still some decent players in this Stoke side that surely the players themselves need to take a long, hard look at themselves, because irrelevant of what you think about Nathan Jones, whether he's the right man, whether he's done a good or a bad job, that this Stoke squad should not be in the position they are 2 points from their opening eight games.
Yeah, we worked it out a couple of weeks ago that they've actually got 37 players who are currently on their books who have had first-team experience. So that's a big squad, although nine of them, I think, are out on loan, and another, Jermaine Shawcross, has broken his leg. So how much blame do you put on the players? I think a lot of the players will say that they haven't particularly been given a chance to really stake their case to be a fixture in Nathan Jones's team, because his squad's so big, he's been chopping and changing week by week. It's only the last couple of games that he's had a team that's bared any similarity to the one that's come before. So I think with most players, they'd say that, give me a run of games and I can do the business in the Championship. And to be fair, most of them have got that on their CV. And Nathan Jones has to find a balance as soon as possible to get a team in any which way that can win games.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Pete. That was Pete Smith, sports reporter for the Stoke-on-Trent Live. I'm sure he's very, very busy at the moment, that you never know at any point in theory. Nathan Jones could lose his job. Obviously, that embarrassing defeat against Crawley last night on penalties in the League Cup. And it's a quick turnaround Friday night against Nottingham Forest at home at the Bet365. Pete suggested it may not be 100% down to that game. You do get the sense, though, with the growing frustration within the Stoke board, that Friday night's results will determine whether Nathan Jones is still in his job by the time we come back next week. That if Stoke win, he will buy himself some more time and things perhaps might not look quite as bad. If Stoke lose on Friday, I think we will have a similar situation to what we had with Jan Sievert earlier in the season. Huddersfield lost to Fulham on the Friday night football within half an hour of full time. It was announced he'd been sacked. I would not be surprised that if Stoke do lose on Friday night, and it's a tough game, Nottingham Forest in sixth place, I think they're in the playoff spots in the Championship, that if Stoke lose, it feels like it is curtains. Four wins in 32. When you look at it like that, that is a pretty awful record. But as I said to Pete, we are in this world nowadays, aren't we, that 8 months is seen as a long enough time. It is a sufficient amount of time to judge whether a manager is a success or not. Now, obviously, you can't really compare it, but you think into the Premier League, that you look at the top two clubs at the moment. Pep Guardiola, in his first season, only took Manchester City just into the top four. They didn't win anything that year. You then think to Jurgen Klopp, it took him 3 years at Liverpool to build a fantastic squad, and Liverpool obviously won the Champions League in June and are challenging Manchester City for the Premier League title last season, finishing just 1 point behind City. This season, 5 points clear after six games. That it takes time, and granted, at some clubs you're afforded more time than others, but it just feels like Stoke haven't given Nathan Jones enough time. But maybe they feel that if they don't make the change now, they might get themselves in too tough a situation and they won't be able to work themselves out of it, and they could find themselves dropping down into League One. If you want to have your views on Nathan Jones, should he lose his job or should he keep the Stoke managerial job, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking all things Huddersfield.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Crichard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. If you want to share your views on where your club is at, whether you had a disappointing night in the EFL Cup last night, or if you're pretty happy with how your club has started the new season. We were talking about just a few moments ago about Nathan Jones and whether he'd lose his job at Stoke, a club that have already changed their manager and have got in a new manager so far this season, is Huddersfield. I'm delighted to say that joining us to talk all things Huddersfield is Stephen Chicken, Huddersfield Town writer for Examiner Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Stephen. It's been a difficult start for Danny Cowley after they lost 4-2 against West Brom, a game they led twice. He said that the Terriers had forgotten how to win. Is that the biggest problem problem at the moment. When you're on a winning run, you forget the feeling of losing. When you're on a losing run, you forget how to win games.
You could see tactically that they weren't as self-assured as they could have been. There was, for a couple of the goals, they were sort of chasing the ball after they'd made errors, and they were trying to atone to the error so quickly that they were putting four players chasing after the ball where they should have just had one or two, and the rest, you know, setting up their shape properly. So I think that's part of it. The other thing that he's referred to is fitness, though. I think Town have conceded 10 goals in the last 30 minutes of games this season, which is more than the average Championship side has conceded across the whole 90 minutes of their games. And they haven't scored in the last 30 minutes of their games either. So the Cowleys have acknowledged that the fitness is not where it should be. It's a difficult one to tackle when you're in the middle of the season, though.
As you mentioned, Danny Cowley said that the team didn't play for 90 minutes. So 60 minutes we start to play for the end, and physically and mentally, we're not where we need to be. You mentioned the fitness levels perhaps not quite being where they should be. But is maybe the positives to take out of that is that away at West Brom, one of the top sides in the Championship, for 60 minutes, Huddersfield with a better side leading, that maybe fitness does need to improve. But as a foundation to go forward with, surely Danny Cowley can take a number of positives from that.
Definitely. The first 45 minutes in particular up to half time was the best period that Town have had this season, hands down. They were much, much better. They previously, they've been dilly-dallying on the ball a lot. They've been forced out into wide areas and sort of kept the ball in sort of harmless positions, and they've been too slow to go on the attack. Against West Brom, they were much more direct, which isn't to say that they were long ball, because they weren't, but they were much more incisive through the middle, and they got the goals from being more direct. The first one, Lewis O'Brien scoring brilliantly after winning the ball in the centre circle, playing a 1-2 with Fraser Campbell and just straight into the bottom corner from the edge of the box. And then the other one from pressing a goal kick. So, the shape was much narrower as well, which I think helped their shape, generally speaking, and stopped the fullbacks from getting too far forward, particularly Haddish and I on the right-hand side, which has been an issue all season. So, definitely from the first 45 minutes, there was a lot of encouragement to be taken there. And after the start Huddersfield have had, we have to take the positives where we can, really.
Yeah, Danny Cowley also said after the game that it's about taking baby steps, that it is going to take a while. Do you think these first two games would have perhaps surprised Danny Cowley in any way about how far Huddersfield have got to go and how much work is needed? Or do you think the moment he stepped in at Huddersfield during those negotiations, he knew exactly what he was getting into?
Yeah, he has actually said, straight up, I knew what I was getting into. He's also said that if the players can get this turned around, regardless of what they've achieved in their careers to date, if they can get Huddersfield out of their current situation, then it will be the biggest achievement of their careers and their lives, probably. They include themselves in that, Cowley and his brother Nicky. So, yeah, I mean, it is a big task, but it's, although there's 8 games gone and they've still not got a win, we know it's a long season in the Championship. A lot can change. And on paper, you still look at that squad and think, do you know what? They shouldn't be getting anywhere near the relegation zone. So there's definitely positives to take. And the next few games are crucial, because I think 6 of the next 7 are against teams that are currently in the bottom half of the table. So it's a really crucial period with a lot of 6-pointers in there.
Yeah, what do you think we've learned from Danny Cowley in terms of the style of play? Obviously, we've seen him for a number of years at Lincoln do a really good job there, bring them through the leagues, had a really good FA Cup run a few years ago. In terms of these first two games, have you spotted anything in particular that's different to the old regimes? And what can we expect from a Danny Cowley Huddersfield side?
So he's very pragmatic, first of all. He's a manager who doesn't come in with, I want to play this way. Every club he's been at, he's looked at his playing staff and he's made decisions based on what is available to him at the club at the time. So, for instance, he thinks the squad that Huddersfield have is probably best suited to play 4-2-3-1. Alex Pritchard hasn't been available, so they've been playing 4-3-3, which, interestingly, is also what Jan Siebert had played at the start of the season. The two big differences that we've seen are in the way that the wingers, the wide men, operate in the front three, because under Siebert they were more out-and-out wingers, but under Cowley they they've played more like, he's described it as being like the Liverpool model, where you've got a centre forward in the middle who drops deep and brings the other two into play to play almost as centre forwards themselves, much like Firmino does with Mane and Salah. The other thing, as I say, is, and this wasn't in evidence against Sheffield Wednesday, but definitely there against West Brom, was they're much narrower at the back as well. And the two wingers, from the front three, are expected to get back and do a lot more work in sort of this fullback position. So those are the two things, but I'm sure we will see a lot more sort of changes. He has said he doesn't want to throw everything in at once. He wants it to be gradual, to keep a bit of continuity there, so he's not throwing too many instructions at the players all at once. So it'll be interesting to see over the next few weeks what changes further.
One of the bright sparks for Huddersfield at the start of this season, also towards the tail end of last season, was the form of Carlin Grant. Scored, I think, 4 Premier League goals towards the end of last season and started this season off pretty well. Is he the type of player, do you think, that Danny Cowley will build this Huddersfield side around, probably trying to fight off interest in January from other Championship clubs, that Grant is the man that they're going to kind of push up front, that he is going to be the kind of focal point of this Huddersfield side under Danny Cowley?
Strangely enough, he's been playing on the left of the front three because they think that that's where he's most dangerous. When they've looked at how he played at Charlton, how he played at Fleetwood, he played on the left of the 4-3-3. And at Charlton, he was playing in front of a diamond, which meant that he was being pushed wide because the forwards at Charlton were being asked to provide a lot of the width. So they think that him coming in off the left is actually where he's most dangerous. But he's obviously a hugely important player to Huddersfield. He's scored, I think, 5 goals already this season, which, even for a club that wasn't bottom of the table, would be a decent return from 8 games. So, yeah, he's clearly an important player, but he's not the only one. The other one who scored on Saturday was Lewis O'Brien, the young lad who's come up through the Huddersfield Academy. And I think he embodies, when you listen to what the Cowleys want from their players, they're basically describing Lewis O'Brien. He's very hardworking, he's very earnest, he gives everything, and it was really pleasing to see him get that goal and get a bit of the spotlight and get the adulation from the fans on Sunday.
As I'm a Liverpool fan, I wanted to get your views on Kamil Grabara, the Polish under 21 international goalkeeper that's currently on loan at Huddersfield. Despite the fact that it's been a tough start for Huddersfield in their opening 8 games, bottom of the table with 1 point, how have you viewed his start to the season on loan in goal?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really, off the top of my head, I can't think of any particular goal where you think that was a howler from Grabara. He's been decent. He's put it this way, none of the fans are directing their criticism at the goalkeeper saying he's useless and he needs to go. He's been absolutely fine. Obviously, it's difficult when you're playing at a team at the bottom, but he's done about as well as anyone could have expected him to do, to be perfectly honest.
And just finally then, Stephen, you mentioned it a bit earlier. This next run of games is going to be important. It starts on Saturday at home to Millwall, then a game away at Stoke, who could have a new manager by that point, at home to Hull, away to Blackburn. Do you reckon Danny Cowley will be looking at this run and thinking, this is a great opportunity for me to be getting some momentum, get some rhythm, get a few wins under our belts? And do you think it's actually, if anything, it's about getting that first win under Danny Cowley, get that winning feeling back, and then other things will start falling into place?
Personally, I think so. He has kind of distanced himself from that mentality. He's publicly gone on the record saying he doesn't think that one win changes everything for Huddersfield Town. And he's also said that they're not setting points targets for the team, that for them it's more about the process than the points. And he actually wants the team to get away from, as he put it, playing to the scoreboard, worrying about what is on the scoreboard. He wants them playing the way he wants them to play for the full 90 minutes, regardless of what's on the scoreboard. And I think that's absolutely right. He needs to get them into good habits, regardless of what is happening around them. But as I say, personally, I feel like this is a crucial time of the season. If they can't get points, I'd say probably at least 10 points out of those next 7 games, they're in really serious trouble, not just because they'll have, you know, very few points and they'll still be bottom, but because they'll have drop points to teams that are not too far ahead of them in the table. So it's a crucial run of games.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stephen. That was Stephen Chicken, Huddersfield Town writer for Examiner Live, giving us his views on Danny Cowley. I think, as Stephen said, the moment Danny Cowley went in there, he knew what he was getting himself into. He knew there was a big task at hand, that it wasn't going to be a quick fix, that it was going to be a gradual process, as Danny Cowley admitted, baby steps, that he was going to take them a while. And I think there is a big job at hand, and things aren't looking great at the moment. 8 games in, 1 point, sat rock bottom of the table. It felt like maybe Jan Sievert should have gone over the summer. I think Danny Cowley's a very sensible option. I'm surprised he didn't get a championship job sooner than he did after the job he did at Lincoln. And it's going to take time. But that game on the weekend, even though they threw away the lead twice, they were 2-1 up against West Brom and threw it away in the last half an hour to lose 4-2. The fact that for 45, 60 minutes, they were the better side away at the side that's currently fourth, one of the hotly tipped sides to get promoted, that is surely just the second game under Danny Cowley. Positives that he can take. He says that fitness needs to improve and psychologically they need to perhaps have a bit more confidence, restore that winning feeling back. And the Millwall game on the weekend feels like a massive one to restore that confidence. That there are the foundations there to really get things going. And I think they've got a good manager. They've got some decent players. We mentioned Carlin Grant up top, Kamil Grabara in goal. Terence Kungolo was a player that impressed me in the Premier League last season in their defence. They've got players that are experienced players in that championship. I think Huddersfield will be absolutely fine. I don't think they're going to get anywhere near promotion this season, but I think they've got a good young manager that has worked his way up, deserved this opportunity. And I think that so long as Huddersfield can get a few wins under their belt soon, I think the wins will start flowing and the confidence will start flowing back for them. Any Huddersfield fans out there that want to give their view here, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show up until 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then it will be Posh Boys on Dry between 3 and 7 this afternoon. So make sure you don't go anywhere here on Love Sport Radio. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, one of the Championship clubs in action in the League Cup tonight is Reading. They travel to Molineux tonight to take on Wolves in the League Cup, and I'm delighted to say that to talk about that and Reading in general, we are joined by Mark Mayo, host of the Tilehurst M podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mark. Let's look ahead to that game first and foremost. Is this an opportune time to take on a side like Wolves? They had a very good season last season. Many expected good things from this season, but their Premier League form has been impacted by the Europa League. So do you see this as a potential opportunity to take down a Premier League side?
Yeah, I think so. I think that basically we enter this game up against a team that's, you know, by their own admission, not on very good form. They're a team that, effectively, this is the least important game they're going to play this season, because they're up against, you know, a championship team, not really much to excite the fans. The Molineux's not going to be sold out or anything close. And as you say, their eyes are on bigger things, and they're going to be playing a lot of young players. We're probably going to rotate a little bit, but not too much. And that should give us, you know, this game, regardless of those things, still remains a bit of a, you know, a bit of an open opportunity, a bit of, if we lose, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, the chances of us winning are probably as high as they're ever going to be going to a team like this.
How do you think Reading manager José Gomes will approach tonight's game in terms of the kind of psychological attitude as well as the physical kind of team selection of it? Do you think that he will take it seriously, or is it a case of that you think he's going to rest some players still with the intention of hopefully getting through?
Well, he probably will be at least going to the players and just saying this is a pretty no pressure kind of game, because we've lost the last 3 games now, and all 3 of those we probably went into it thinking that we've got a good chance of winning. We were certainly favourites for 2 of them. So he's got to turn around to the players tonight and just say, you know what, go out there and do your best. And if we win against a rotated / young side, then brilliant. But ultimately, you know, in terms of rotation for ourselves, I think he's going to set us out pretty seriously. I think he's going to have to give players like George Puskás more time on the pitch to get the best out of them, probably Lucas Schau as well. And that means not changing too many things around. But when you come out of 3 straight defeats, and those defeats were, you know, arguably with our best team, you want to keep those players in and just give them more time to get to know each other, adapt to the system and find a bit of form, really.
For you, Mark, are you keen for a cut run this season, or due to the kind of precarious position of Reading at the moment, just a couple of points off the outside of the relegation zone, are you actually keen to see a number of players rest and make sure there are no injuries coming through from tonight and prioritising the league?
Yeah, well, to be honest, we are slightly off the relegation zone, but I don't think that over the course of the season, I don't think we should be having the sort of worries with relegation we've had over the last couple of years. Ultimately, you know, if you offer a cup run in the League Cup or indeed the FA Cup, I think as a Reading fan, you've got to say, yeah, let's go for it, because we don't get too many chances. I think the best we've done in the League Cup, I think we went to the quarterfinals in the 90s and lost quite controversially as well to Middlesbrough in that. So we don't have much of a history of cup competition, so the chance to make it is always there, and it's the sort of thing as a fan you have to take. And the Championship season is so long. We're so used to playing Saturday, Wednesday. So going and doing another game tonight against a team that probably isn't too fussed about playing us, we may as well, you know, make the most of it.
Looking back then at last weekend, it was a defeat at home to Blackburn. Blackburn went 2-0 up. Reading did score a consolation goal in the end. Wasn't enough to get anything from the game. What was your reaction to that? José Gomes said at halftime he was completely angry with the players in terms of their first half performance. What was your reaction to that defeat on the weekend?
Yeah, it was disappointment. I totally understand if we're going to drop points at home to teams that we like to think we can beat every now and again. That's the part and parcel of being in the Championship. And we're not we're not a promotion chasing team this year, because even though probably a lot of fans would have seen us beat Cardiff very convincingly on TV and we've had some good games, we're a young team and we're a new-ish sort of formation, new-ish kind of manager still. And that's going to create a lot of inconsistency. And it's going to mean that sometimes, you know, we can go against teams like Huddersfield and West Brom and get good results up there. And then also sometimes we just take our eye off the ball and don't produce for whatever reason. And hopefully that's just kind of what it is. And that should mean that an upturn is around the corner. And I think as soon as we get a couple, you know, if we win either tonight or on the weekend, that I think any kind of bad mood about those results will go away.
In terms of the season as a whole, then, who have been the players, Mark, that have impressed you? Obviously, Puskas is a player that obviously is a famous name and a player that is one of the key players for Reading. Lucas Joao was a player they signed from Sheffield Wednesday. I know, being a Liverpool fan, about Ovie Ejaria, who's on loan with an obligation to buy. He's made an impressive start as well. Who have been the players that have impressed, and perhaps a few players maybe that are disappointed at the start of this season?
Well, in terms of those that have impressed, you've hit the nail on the head saying Ejaria, because he is a total sort of a brilliant find for a Championship club to be able to bring him on loan, not just for the season that we've just had, but for the last 6 months of the last season as well. And to, you know, essentially have him nailed down as a £3 million signing, I think is fantastic business. And it's testament to the club that they've got him in at the moment, and he's lived up to his name so far. And the thing is as well for Reading is that Ejaria and John Swift, and when John Swift, a very technical sort of playmaker player, when those two play well, the club plays well and the team plays well and everything's, you know, hunky-dory basically. The problem is that sometimes that creates a bit of a tactical problem. You have two very attacking central midfielders in a three and it kind of isolates players. That means that we've not seen from Andy Winnemotta, who hopefully will start tonight. He was our player of the season last year. Hasn't quite started out so well this season, but I think that's kind of a tactical thing as much as anything else. And then the two strikers, Joao and Puskas, have been a bit hit and miss. It has been a case of, I hope at least, them just learning the system and learning, certainly for Puskas, learning the league and everything, and hopefully time will sort of solve that. But I think it's an interesting sort of team that we've got at the moment. Very sort of young and quite athletic, quite forward thinking. And I think ultimately our approach has been to outscore teams. But in the last few weeks, we've just not been able to score that many to make it work.
Looking then beyond tonight's game, Mark, it's quite a tough run actually coming up for Reading. They're away at Swansea on the weekend, at home to Fulham, away at Bristol City, then at home against Preston. Those are all top sides, most of those in the top six or seven at the moment. This is going to be quite a tough period for Reading, and if they can get through it with a decent points haul, then confidence will be starting to really increase.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is with the Championship is that you're never out of any game until, you know, the 90th minute or you go 3-0 down or something. So we'll go to those sort of those sort of teams, and the pressure will be on them. And I think this team, as we've seen with the last couple of home games where we've lost, having been the the favourites and whatnot, doesn't always suit us. And as a club, to be honest, it's never always suited us to be the favourites. It's a nice chance to go away from home, and perhaps the games will be a bit more open. Perhaps we can play on the counter a bit more. And we're relatively decent at that, to be fair. So hopefully that sort of tough run of fixtures might play into our hands a little bit.
And just finally then, Mark, a prediction for tonight, away at Wolves in the League Cup. Are we going to see a Championship side knock out a Premier League side tonight?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I think for me, it entirely depends on what sort of team Wolves put out. What it looks like at the moment, it's going to be quite young. We're, however, a bit hit and miss, as I've kind of said, and I think this is probably going to have to be a 1-1 prediction for me. And then on penalties, who knows? We beat Wickham on penalties in the first round, so probably back us in penalties. But I'd say 1-1 in 90 minutes.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Mark. That was Mark Mayo, host of the Tilehurst End podcast, giving his views on Reading. They obviously play Wolves tonight at Molineux in the League Cup. As I mentioned, a tough run of fixtures for them. They play Swansea, Preston, Bristol City and Fulham in the next four league games. So not an easy run. And if things don't go well for Reading over the next few weeks, they could find themselves in real trouble towards the bottom end. They are only a few points above the relegation zone at the moment, so plenty still to play for Reading over these next few weeks. And as I said, an EFL Cup game tonight. That's one of a number of EFL Cup games, eight EFL Cup cup ties tonight. There are six other 7:45 kickoffs, an all Premier League tie between Brighton and Aston Villa. Burton host Bournemouth. Chelsea are at home at Stamford Bridge against Grimsby. Liverpool travel to MK Dons. Oxford United host West Ham. And Sheffield United are against Sunderland. And 1 8 o'clock kickoff tonight, which will be at Old Trafford, where Manchester United take on Rochdale. So plenty of EFL Cup ties to look out for tonight. Obviously, the draw for the fourth round will take place after the MK Dons game against Liverpool ends tonight. So keep your eyes out for that if your team is still involved in the EFL Cup.
Love Sport.